There's many in this new young generation, and these Pew Research polls have a name for them. They're called the nuns. They check the nun box when it comes to religion. They're not Christian. They're not Muslim. They more align themselves with Gnosticism or understand themselves as atheist. They don't want anything to do, oftentimes, with organized religion. And so the religious community doesn't know what to do with these folks who are nuns. But there's also another category. They're called the duns. People in their 50s to 70, they're tired and they're done with it all. They're done with the problems and issues at home. They're almost retired. Work's not fun anymore. They're done with work. And then they get to church, and they get beat up there, too. Not giving enough money or time. They get burned out teaching. They're tired of all the meetings. There's lots of personalities to deal with at church. So they're done with church, done with religion, hence the name duns, the nuns and duns. I think this category, dun, applies to most people these days, not just as a church, but with everything people have on their plates. Think about it. No matter your age, how many people here are just worn out and tired? Especially after this week, you're really worn out and tired. First at home, you struggle with insecurities and anxieties and frustrations brought upon even within yourself. You might be attacked from below by your children. You might be attacked from the side at times by your spouse or your friends. Then some are helping aged parents or even still grieving the loss of their parents. Essentially, we're attacked or struggling from all ends at home. And then at work, it just isn't what you thought it might become. More stuff gets piled on your plate, more traveling. We carry work home with you on your smartphones these days. The company might seem to care less, and you might seem trapped. And then when it comes to our spiritual lives, you all have been through a whirlwind these past few years. A beloved pastor retiring, an interim pastor coming in, and then this new guy shows up. At least his sermons are short, right? Or hopefully they are today. In this whirlwind, some have stepped up to pick up the slack. Others have stepped aside for whatever reason. Some of us just come to church and we go through these motions, right? We say the same things many weeks. And if we show up, sometimes we're encouraged or nudged or pushed, feel obligated to do things. And church is just like all the others. It's filled with personalities and agendas. Yet what do we really desire? What we really desire is to rest here in this place, to get inspired. Some of us might need to escape the real world. I bet we all just need to breathe here in this place. If we don't get that, sign us up too for that category done, right? One of the reasons our family loves Disney World is we love to escape into a magical world where there's no trash on the street. We don't have to answer phones or have responsibilities. Now, it might be the happiest place in the world, but there's still stressed out moms and dads at Disney World. But I think most of us need a way to escape the pressures and stress of life. Some love the outdoors, and some go hunting and fishing. Some go walking or jogging, and others plan and go on vacations. Sports fans get into that zone when they're watching the game. There's all kinds of ways that we can escape, except these days with cell phones, escaping seems to get harder and harder. No matter where you are or who you are, it seems like life catches up with us and we get tired and worn out. Especially in the supercharged media frenzied political circus that we find ourselves in, we need to recharge, we need to escape, we need something, and we're all looking for something to fix or to fill that gap. Unfortunately, some ways of escaping can go too far. They can turn from healthy to unhealthy really quick, especially if there's depression thrown into the mix, or for those who have alcoholism or addiction in your families. When we're tired or worn out, if we're hurt, if we're angry, any of us can turn to unhealthy ways of escaping reality, whether it be alcohol, food, shopping, gambling, pornography, or drugs. In fact, many know here someone who struggles with these very things. And with all these pressures and stress, it's hard to blame them. There might be actually a few here today who struggle with unhealthy ways of escaping. You'd probably be surprised, but there are folks in this room who have struggled with those very things here in the past. You're not alone. No person is perfect. We're all human. And yet sometimes we think we're all alone and we think there's no way out, but there are people who want to help you if you're in over your head. Now, no matter how we look on the outside, no matter what our Facebook posts say, I bet most of us are barely hanging on by a string. We're just very good at acting, because the truth is, this room is full of people with broken hearts, misplaced agendas, and selfish ambitions. Church is the only place you can dump on others and they're supposed to forgive you. But that forgiveness and grace isn't always shared or given. Mutual forbearance is often absent in churches. And when everything unravels, when we're done or close to being done, it's not surprising that we can let go of church, or that we let go of God. Now, right before our scripture reading, Apollos arrives in Ephesus. If you remember, Apollos is this great orator and debater. He's a Jew who knows the scriptures, and he's converted, and he convinces a dozen people from the synagogue to follow Christ. After a while, Priscilla and Aquila hear him. They're relatively new Christians, but they teach him more about this thing called the way. And he's willing to learn from them. And eventually, Apollos goes on his way and he shares this same message to the Corinthians. And this is when Paul arrives in Ephesus, and that's where our scripture reading begins today. Ephesus is this grand city. I was there many years ago, and you're walking down this marble street, and on the side you see these mosaic laid sidewalks, and right before you at the bottom of the hill is this two-storied library. It's the third largest in the world that day. The city is grand. And during Paul's 2 years here, he asked these disciples if they've received the Holy Spirit, but they don't know what the Holy Spirit is. And just in that verse, we learn the early Christian movement is quite diverse. It wasn't this one harmonious body that we probably imagine it was. It was full of Jews and Romans, followers of John the Baptist, followers of Apollos, and those who know the way, and then now followers of Paul. They're all very different from one another. Diversity was very apparent in the early church, just as it exists in our churches today. In fact, the one church back then like I said, in the children's time, is more like today's church. Instead of Romans and Jews and followers of the way, it's filled with Baptists and Catholics, evangelicals, mainline, and non-denominationals. There were apostles and new converts like Priscilla and Aquila, who were husband and wife leaders of the church. Paul and Barnabas disagreed publicly, and each new convert brought diversity to Christianity. Now, the truth is, whether we admit it or not, the church has always been far from perfect. Even early on, Apollos didn't have it all together. Paul didn't have all the answers. It was as much of a motley crew as the church is today. The answer of the church is there is no perfect church. I wish I could tell you there was. I wish you could come here and you didn't have to deal with agendas or personalities, but the truth is, life isn't that way, and we are far from perfect. Life's hard, and you do get worn out. And there's a whole lot out there, and there's a whole lot in here that beats us up and wears us down. But before you throw in the towel, I want you to hear what happens next in our scripture reading. The Ephesians, these disciples, they get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they receive that one thing that we're all looking for, that void, the thing that fills the void. It's the Holy Spirit. We don't need to escape. We just need to listen to those words that we heard moments ago. Remember your baptism. We have something that we can rely on when we can't hold on to anything else. When we're worn out, we must remember our baptism. When we're tired, we need to hear and see those waters. And when we're about to be done, or when we are done, we know that we are claimed by God. And we're given a helper, the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's the only thing that can sustain us. The Holy Spirit provides love, grace, and forgiveness. It's something that we so desperately need. It's a hard thing to remember our baptism when the world gives us other options of escaping. Yet today, when we see a child and a father baptized, when we hear the waters and words flowing, when we see new members join our church, we know the Holy Spirit sustains them just as it's been given to us. The Holy Spirit, this water, is what can fill us. It can recharge us. There's power, grace, and love, everything we need is here in this water. It's for everyone. It's for the nuns and the duns, the tired, the heartbroken, the Jews, the Romans, the ones who have it figured out, and pretty much everyone else who doesn't. The unworthy and the worthy, the selfish and the struggling. It's given to all of us, from the early church to today, and for those who are yet to come. The Holy Spirit is what we are looking for. It fills the void. Let us remember our baptism. Praise be to God. Amen and amen.